Hi.
Hi.
We're recording from the road right now.
We are.
Capital T, capital R. Well, not the book by Cormac McCarthy, but just like the experience by Nika and Anya.
Mistakes.
Ow.
Wait, is that a book?
Yeah.
The Road?
Yeah.
So like there's On the Road and then there's The
Road.
Yeah,
there's, yeah.
That's
people love to talk about. It's a hot button issue
that's
right now.
Annoying.
And for the last however many years, hundreds of
that.
Years. The Road is like a post-apocalyptic, like post nuclear holocaust
okay.
story.
Haven't heard of it. I have obviously heard of On the Road. Never read it, but one time had to defend why I hated it in a college class. It was more so that I hate Jack Kerouac, though.
Mm-hmm. Say
yeah.
more.
Well, it was in my creative writing class, and my professor was talking about On the Road, and I was really hungover, and I said under my breath, I was in the back of the classroom, like, I don't know how he heard me, but I said under my breath, oh, I fucking hate Jack Kerouac, and he made me explain why. He was like, would you like to expand on that, Nika? I was like, not really, but I did. I hate Jack Kerouac and On the Road because I think, and I haven't read the book, but just the lore surrounding it, the culture surrounding it, I think that he gets all of the credit that Sylvia Plath should have gotten for her writing. Like,
yeah,
people are obsessed with Jack, you know, they're from the same period, they're from the beatnik era, they both are, you know, American people from that time. And I feel like everyone that loves The Bell Jar and loves Sylvia Plath gets put into this, like, we're annoying, like, self-diagnosed mentally ill girlies.
Mm-hmm.
But all the boys that love Jack Kerouac and On the Road
are
like
deep.
Deep and cool and prolific. And I'm like, no.
It all comes down to misogyny, as always.
It always. And it's like two things can be true.
Uh-huh.
You know, we can be self-diagnosed, dramatic, annoying, mentally ill girlies, and also Sylvia Plath and The Bell Jar specifically are like cultural resets.
All right. Well,
anyway,
we are on the road.
We are on the road.
And in that way, in a kind of apocalyptic moment in society, and we're prolific. So it all circles back.
Recording live from Austin.
Yeah, we're in Austin, Texas right now. And
Austin's a really cool city.
We're in Austin for like 24 hours and we have not left the apartment that we're staying in.
And you know what? I'm honestly so fine with that because we've been going out a lot, you know.
In every city that we've been to.
In every city we've been to.
And listen.
Which is great, but like I needed a rest.
Christy Carlson Romano and Joe Rogan are holding Austin down for us.
Yeah.
You know, they're experiencing.
Oh, we should have gotten Christy on the pod.
Oof, yeah. Unfortunately, we just have this stupid, terrible guest. It's too bad we don't have Christy Carlson Romano, but it's our deep
Christy Carlson Romano plus this guest would have been a great combo.
Yeah. Yeah, okay, the round table.
Yeah.
Of Christy Carlson Romano, Nika Lamazzo, Anya Voltz, and Mind Bath.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, without further ado, let's introduce our guest.
Yes.
The incomparable.
Amazing, so hot and
so
talented.
So hot and talented.
Dark
musician,
and stormy Scorpio.
Yeah, musician, DJ, and most importantly, Scorpio.
Just the sun.
Just the sun. Well, that's okay. We'll forgive you. We love Scorpio moons in this house, but
we do
not this house. Like. This house. Sorry, I'm pointing to me and Nika. Anyway, Mind Bath. Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
What is up?
You're our friend.
You
yes,
are our friend.
Correct.
So thanks for doing that.
Blessedly.
First of all.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it's we actually haven't had a ton of people in our like group, quote unquote, of friends on the podcast before.
Okay.
And the last time we did it was JP.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a hit. People were very excited.
JP is a hit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like, you know, both like our friends were excited to hear a friend on the pod, but our fans, quote unquote, our listeners, fans is for only fans.
I don't know. I think you can give yourself fans.
We have fans.
Everything's
our
so fucking hard.
Our
give
besties, yeah.
Besties.
Oh yeah, if you hear a little pitter patter, there are rabbits in the room.
Literal rabbits.
This is Pretty Boy.
Their names are Handsome and Pretty Boy.
Their dads are not gay.
Did you just come out to us as not gay? Okay, you're kicked off.
Yeah.
Get off the show. But yeah, anyway, people who like us like to hear from our friends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's exciting to have you on, but you're also like, you're not just our friend, you're like kind of like a legitimate big deal with like articles about you on like Vice and like Paper Magazine.
Yes.
So
that's the last interview I did was with Paper Magazine.
How was that for you?
It was very in depth. It was like not a phone call or not an email questionnaire kind of situation. Like someone actually came and sat in my studio with me for like 5 hours.
Wow.
And like wrote this kind of like long read, you know, more like philosophical take on how I made them feel or something. And so it was like, it was nice. I'm, you know, it was a nice switch up from like the like very terrible journalism that most often follows musicians.
So. Sure.
Not terrible meaning like basic.
We're going to go even deeper today.
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's do 6 hours.
Perfect.
Great. Yeah, that's, I mean, as legitimate as it gets in this crew. So we're very excited to have the group Celebrity on the podcast.
Oh, my gosh.
Like, do we have any other high profile friends like that? We have high profile friends of friends.
Yeah, no, none that I know of.
But no Paper Magazine friends.
Yeah, not that I can think of.
It's an honor and a privilege.
And a privilege.
Later on, I will reveal to you all the dark secrets of, like, how it's not even that hard to get into Paper Magazine.
Okay, amazing.
If you want to know.
But you won't give our listeners that? That's just for us?
I kind of love that.
Let's do Acid, and then we'll do a 12-hour interview, and I'll tell you everything.
Yeah. No, that'll be on the Patreon.
Okay, perfect.
Behind the paywall, you'll tell our listeners how it's not hard to get into Paper Magazine. Oh my gosh. The bunny in the room does not like to be picked up, but does like to, you know, he's kind of a tease.
He is a tease.
He comes over and kind of acts like he wants to be picked up, and then he freaks out like it was your idea.
Yeah. He absolutely wants to be pet, just not lifted.
Well, that doesn't work for me, so yeah.
Stay
away
from me. I get that.
It's a hard boundary for Nika.
Yeah.
She.
I do enough petting and not picking up, you know? Like, that's like a real metaphor for my life.
This
rabbit is like all the boys in my life. Get away from me. They all want to be pet and never picked up.
But yeah, anyway, we're in Austin, but you are a Canadian artist.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's brave of you. How are you finding that?
Being a Canadian artist or being in Austin?
Both.
Well, I think being an artist in general is like fucking impossible. Like trying to turn your music into a career without like losing yourself or like or like diluting yourself into something less special or paying for it or having rich parents.
Yeah.
which is why I'm where I'm at right now, which is kind of just like everything's changing for me in terms of what I want. And I was, on one hand, I'm just like wanting to get away from like the hustle and grind and like degradation of being a musician. And then on the other hand, I have this big project that I'm working on. So my boyfriend was just like, why don't you quit your job, sublet your apartment, come stay with me for like 4 months and work on your project and figure your shit out. And so that's kind of why I'm here.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. How, what's it like being a kept woman?
Oh, you know, I deserve this.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah, you do deserve it.
With those cheekbones, you're far too pretty to have gone this long without being a kept woman.
I mean,
woman.
Listen, like I told you when I first met you, the prettiest girl at fairy camp.
Oh my God. I wrote that down, just so you know.
Amazing.
A long time ago.
Great. I love that.
When I'm having a bad day, just like open up the journal. I'm like, I was at one point.
The prettiest girl.
In Nika's eyes, the prettiest girl on the land. That stands for something.
You always are. Last time that we saw you, you were turned around and you had gotten out of the car and to our friends, I was like, who's that gorgeous fucking girl in the driveway right now? And then you turned around and we were like, oh, it's Mind Bath.
And you were like, you better not fucking transition.
Yeah, no, you better not transition. Don't do it, please. Or like, you can, just don't go on estrogen because you'll be so much hotter than me. I can't. Not again.
I think we're, like, no promises, but like...
No, I would love
it.
I would love it.
We've reached it.
Yeah, more dolls. More dolls, please.
Yeah.
I would very much love it.
I even have like a goatee right now, which like...
It's hot.
It is hot. Yeah.
It's like out of necessity from like incessant razor burn, but like we're trying something new.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We love. I love it.
Yeah, I'm going through my goatee phase too. I just haven't been plucking my chin hairs.
Yeah. I'm into it. Thanks. It like elongates your chin, which is like what everyone's trying to do. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. No implants for me. I just have these long
whiskers.
Wizardly
things to spin around your witch finger.
Yeah, that I can literally twist around my finger when the moment strikes me. So yeah, how long have you been like just chilling in Austin at this point?
A month. And I've just been writing, being really boring, and like it's really good for me.
I'm impressed with that discipline. Like, even though you came here for that reason, sometimes I'm like, ugh, I'm just gonna go like to fucking, I don't know, my mom's house in Vermont and like get some writing done, and then like what I really do is just like watch a lot of Netflix and like hang out with my dog.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've always been, I'm like super easily, like it doesn't even feel like discipline. Like I will like pat myself on the back for like when I have a creative thing that I want to do, it's going to get done.
That is enviable.
And then there's so many other aspects of life where I am like completely undisciplined and so like...
Okay, tell us about those. Make us feel better.
I mean, like fucking having money, making money. Mm-hmm. Like I'm like a 33-year-old without a credit card, like I was telling you last night. Like I just like don't give a fuck about like taxes or like about like credit scores or like I just... You know, one day it'll catch up to me, but I just...
But until then, let's keep running.
I can't even explain it, you know? Like, there's just, like, so many other places where I'm a mess, but, like, you know, I have a deadline for the first time ever with this project right now, and, like, it's really difficult on me. I feel very, like, big brother about it. Like, because I'm someone where I'm, like, don't give me a deadline and it'll get done. Maybe even faster than if you give me a deadline, but, like, yeah, I don't know. I've just always, like... It, like, genuinely brings me, like, so much joy to, like, be in my creative practice. And so that part of it has always come really easy to me. It's all the other things that are expected of musicians that I find really difficult.
Yeah.
So how long have you been making music?
Trying to make music as a career, 10 years.
Okay.
Yeah. And then, like, before that, I was... Like, I've been in the entertainment industry since I could walk. Like, I was, like, a film and TV actor for a long time, and that was not it for me. And I always sang, or, like, you know, would book singing roles. I was, like, the, like, white guy with a guitar at the campfire that, like, could sing you, like, Coldplay if you wanted.
I love that. I love Coldplay, too. Great. I
mean, yeah, Coldplay's great. Tamika always wants, so do that.
Iconic songs. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then, like, 10 years ago, I got like a taste for like what it might actually feel like to like really express myself and really be an artist that like doesn't need anyone else's approval or like to be cast in a role in order to like make what you want to make. And that just that was like obviously the path for me.
And for anyone who hasn't listened to you, how would you like describe your music?
Yeah. I like to say that like mind bath is like kind of like a genre.
Uh-huh.
You know, like I think it's
you just got mind bathed.
Yeah, you just got mind bathed.
Mind bathed.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. My friends like joke that like you know how like Gaga has like the little monsters or like Beyonce has like the beehive. Like my friends always say that I have the bathers.
Okay.
So if there's any bathers out there listening, like rub a dub.
Shout out to my bathers.
Shout out to the bathers.
Scrub those legs.
Yeah. Music is great come down music for me personally.
Okay, I love that.
Yeah, when I'm like having a hard come down, your music is very soothing.
Thank you.
To listen to.
I like to think of it as like sexy and slow.
Yeah.
It's also, no matter what I think I'm doing, it's also extremely emotional. And, like, in the past has even been, like, pretty melodramatic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have, like, a lot of water placements.
Say no more.
Got a lot to say. I think it's sexy, but, like, poetic and,
you have an EP and then a second album, correct?
I have like...
or is there more than that?
I put out an EP called I Was Young, and then I put out a side project, like dance music EP called Cafe Lanai with my friend Forever.
Oh yes, I've listened to that.
Then I put out a collaborative EP with my friend Uri that was just called Uri/Mindbath.
Okay.
Then I put out a full-length album called Baby You Could Free Your Mind. And then I just put out an EP called Must Come Spring.
Okay. Yes.
So there's like been, you know, quite a bit.
Hot. There's a lot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
A lot for the besties to dive
listen, yeah,
in.
To go listen to.
Go yes. come down.
Yeah. Go come down. Yeah.
And why was, you mentioned acting not being the vibe. Why was that not the vibe for you? What did you not like about it? Or the industry, rather, I assume, more than the acting itself.
I mean, there's like so many things that I could say are not the vibe. You know, like it's like not getting to be yourself. Mm-hmm. But also,
like, quite literally, that's the job.
Quite literally, that's the job.
Yeah.
But like quite, but the crazy thing is that like to get the jobs, you have to make yourself into like a sort of like bland self.
Mm-hmm. The most successful actors are like kind of boring people, I feel.
Yeah, totally.
Because they like there's like a canvas that they need to be for like the project to like paint on.
Yeah. And I did like hit a stride where like, you know, once I like grew my hair out, which was all it took, because like film people are so literal and corny, that was then when I stopped going out for like the kind of boring boy next door leading man stuff and became more like, you know, like the drug addict or like the comedic relief or like the stoner.
Mm-hmm.
Like that was like a cute moment, but ultimately I like really needed control, which like, you know, it's like exactly what Janet Jackson was saying. I just like, I needed what she needed. And like, you know, control is a huge Scorpio thing. And it was just like, you know, I wanted to be an artist. I wanted to be performing. The only chance I was getting was when someone
cast
me in a role that was mindless in a movie that was stupid. You know, it's like, it's as if like, you know, if, imagine if you were a comedian and the only time you got to like tell jokes was when someone else had written them and they were bad.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You totally. Know, like I just felt, I just like started, once I started like, you know, feeling like I might have something to say or like experiencing life, I just wanted to be more in control and to like make art on my own dime. And like, I wasn't about to like start making movies, you know?
Yeah.
And I really liked singing, so.
Right.
Yeah.
Interesting. And so did you stop around the time that you started making music? Or did they
stop acting?
Yeah.
Oh, no, it was like a pretty hard quit. The last thing I was in was Jennifer's Body, which was like a like terrible and exciting experience altogether because like my role was demoted. And then like, you know, all of us on the cast, when we got the script, we like definitely thought we were like going to be part of like something as major as like Mean Girls or like, you know?
Yeah, like I feel like that was the impression that everybody that worked on that movie felt. And then it was, like, poorly marketed is the consensus, no?
It was just the last time that I got my hopes up for, like, I don't know, like, this is your moment. Like, you're about to pop off. And then it was, like, I got demoted from, like, to, like, a role that hardly even had a name. And then, like, the film flopped. And, like, now it's, like, this very cult thing that people like. But after that, I hard quit and moved to Berlin and, like, started teaching myself how to produce and songwrite.
Would you say, like, was the disappointment from the reception of Jennifer's Body? Or was it, did you already know before the reception that you were feeling over it?
I think, again, it was, like, a lot of, you know, I don't even want to say that it was, like, for reasons that were actually like that cool at the time. I think I had like a lot of like young male ego, and like that's where like some of the control was coming from. Like I wanted to like be seen as like special.
Mm-hmm.
And like it was just, you know, even when I booked a role that was supposed to be special, like it ended up being embarrassing that I was like cut from the film and people didn't like it.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if I could make music, I was in complete control of how it was going to be finished and packaged and created. And then like, you know, maybe that was like, yeah, I think, you know, it turned into something much more meaningful than that. But I think I did like want to be famous. I think I did want to like make that like little queer kid that was like all my star power and my specialness and my like effervescence was very like squashed by adults when I was young. And so then you want to like make that kid famous and special mm-hmm. and yeah. shiny again.
Yeah. I always, like, whenever people want fame, I, like, what I have discerned is that, like, what they want isn't about all the people out there that would be their fans or would know them. It's about, like, all the people they already know seeing yeah. them get famous.
Rise up. Yeah, for sure.
You know?
Yeah.
It's, like, so much more about, like, proving to, like, the people that, like, thought you couldn't than it is about, like, actually giving anything to the potential future people that are gonna mm-hmm. like you. Mm-hmm. And, like, and, you know, I don't think that it's... I think we've all gone through our phase of, like, wanting to be famous for those exact reasons. Yeah. I think eventually most of us come out the other side feeling, like, very grateful we didn't get that wish.
Yeah.
Because, like, first of all, anything motivated from that is not going to be fulfilling in the way we want it to yeah. fulfill us. But second of all the wishes to make, like, that is a really, really dangerous one
yeah.
that can, like, fuck up your whole life.
Yeah.
And, like, you're doing it to prove it to these, like, other people, but then their lives are going to be, like, totally fine, and you're the one that now has to, like, live with the burden of fame.
Yeah. Like, I was almost on Glee.
Oh my God, really?
Yeah. I could be dead right now.
Yeah, the curse.
I don't know if that's okay to say.
No, that's... I think that's totally fine to say.
Yeah, I just... I mean, it was...
Did they not cast you because you could read?
I could read way too well.
Yeah. They were like, sorry, this is not going to work out.
Yeah, he doesn't seem to have any, like, deep-seated secrets or, like... I don't know
what yeah.
it was. But yeah, no, I just... I mean, it was amazing, though, because pretty quickly all the reasons that I do think I wanted to start making music for, like, completely transformed, and, like, all the things that I thought would be the best parts became the parts that I hated. And all the, like, kind of, like, emotional, ego death, experimental, deep diving, skill learning, behind the scenes work was what made life worth living for, like, the first time ever.
Yeah.
You know? Like... And ultimately that had nothing to do with, like, career or perception or being seen as special, because nobody sees that shit or mm-hmm. understands it.
And everyone's so busy worrying about their own specialness.
Yeah.
That they don't give a fuck about yours.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, obviously we all, like, we are fans of certain people and yeah. like we care about their specialness, but in the grand scheme of things, we're fans of people because of the reflection of ourselves we see in them
yeah.
or, like, the thing that we wish we could do that they can do. It still, like, comes back to, like, ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, like, even wanting people to be your fan or, like, wanting people to hold you in that, like, regard, it's, like, a fruitless endeavor because it's never going to really be about you. It's about them.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You have to, like, you have to do it for yourself and not for, like, that admiration.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, come.
Yeah, and now I would say, like, I'm still super down to be seen as special for how I, like, make you feel.
Totally, same. I mean, that's, like, this podcast for Nika and I is kind of, like, our, like, artistic endeavor post-divorcing ourselves from, like, our entertainment and industry mm-hmm. dreams.
Aspirations, yeah.
Yeah. Like, and here we are still doing an entertainment industry type thing
mm-hmm.
that is reaching people that yeah. like us and, like, are, like I said earlier, quote unquote, are fans, and, like, that's wonderful, but it's also not, like, I, as a person who's making this podcast and as a person who speaks to the people who listen to it,
mm-hmm.
I often, the things that people like about it, I, like, can hear that their relationship to it is so different from, like, what it feels like to make it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I love that. I love that they're getting something out of it that I couldn't even imagine while I'm making it.
Yeah.
Because, like, it's about, when they're listening to it, it's about them and how it connects with them more than it is about anything that I meant when I said it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, like, that is a much more fulfilling type of, like, exchange of, like, art creation and art consumption than me being like, don't you love me? And
yeah.
everything that I said, because I'm amazing and, like, fuck you.
Yeah.
Which you can feel, some famous people really do feel that way about their own art. They, like, kind of don't care about what the, like, actual relationship with the art is. They just want to be worshipped.
Yeah, 100%.
And,
yeah.
like, I don't know, art in general, and I'm definitely not the first person to say this. I'm like, this is not an original idea. But, like, art is more, like, once it's made, it's just out there. It's like not mm-hmm. yours anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And like how people consume it and how they feel about it and how they react to it is like so much more about them than it is about you or how you made it or what mm-hmm. your intentions were.
And that part of it does become really special for you too, because like there's something like that, having your art out there in the world does like, you know, open that window for at any time someone to have an experience to it that you're even unaware of. Mm-hmm. But also like any day your life could change.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like one of my first projects that we put out, we had like, I've never really had money for like a PR campaign proper or anything, mm-hmm. but like as far as we thought, it was like nothing happened. And then like 2 years later, I got taken on like an all expense paid tour to Asia where I had a fan base from that specific album. My favorite story like that is Beverly Glenn Copeland. Started making music as Beverly Copeland, like I think in the 70s. And like, you know, record labels were like pressuring him, like an AFAB person, to like release this kind of like Joni Mitchell-esque folk music, still very beautiful. And he came out as trans and put out some like fucking stunning music, and then just kind of, you know, stopped and lived this very rural life with his wife. And in, you know, I don't know his actual age now, but he was discovered by like, you know, record collectors like decades down the road, and is having this like Phoenix rising moment where not only is his music still so relevant and he's touring the world and living out these dreams, but like he's like become like such a like gorgeous mentor for like millennials and Gen Z kids. And like,
yeah,
it's just, I mean, like so not linear.
As you're telling this story, there's a Van Gogh painting behind you,
right?
And Van Gogh is like a huge example of like making art that is like, he made art that is now like synonymous with the word art, you know? Like,
yeah,
you literally think of like Starry Night when you think of like famous paintings, and he wasn't alive to see himself get famous.
Yeah.
He just like made all this prolific art and then like became like one of the greatest artists of all time in the eyes of the public after he died.
Yeah.
So it is interesting that like art really does take a life of its own, kind of like regardless of what your intentions are with it or what you're even able to see happen with it.
Yeah.
And that's what's going to happen with this podcast. Years after Nika and I die.
We'll be synonymous just like, with the word podcast.
It's going to be synonymous with the word podcast. And it's going to go down in history books.
Absolutely.
One of the
history audiobooks. Yeah. People won't read by then.
Yeah, I mean, everyone's going to be cast in Glee. No one's going to read.
Leah Michelle, come on the pod.
Let's talk.
I like you. I don't care that no one likes you. I like Leah Michelle. I'll say it.
I have no opinion. I never watched Glee.
I listened to the music more than I watched it. I watched the first season, didn't really like it. I just like Leah Michelle because she's so deeply, deeply annoying, and committed to her craft, and she just like doesn't really care that people don't fuck with her.
Yeah.
And I just relate to that.
I love that in a person.
I just read an interview where she, you know, is reflecting now back on her being a cunt on Glee, because all of her co-stars have come out and been like, she was a terrible person, she was a bully, etc. And she hasn't really apologized and just said something along the lines of like, you know, it's really hard for me because I am a perfectionist, and so I hold myself to like a standard of being perfect, and so that just like really got in the way of, you know, like that was my priority on Glee, and that just got in the way of a lot of my relationships. And I'm like, what a great way of kind of just saying that you don't care that you hurt anyone's feelings. You do what you had to do. And you know what? She's right, because now she's on Broadway, and where are any of those co-stars?
Dead.
Dead and or like on Twitter.
Rest in peace. We're not laughing that they're dead. It's just there is a curse.
Yeah, dead and or on Twitter, kind of not getting cast in anything. So.
Or like Darren Criss just like getting cast in like every Ryan Murphy project and like nothing else.
Yeah.
But like killing it, honestly, was incredible in that assassination of Jimmy.
I didn't watch it. Yeah. I didn't watch it.
Oh, he was incredible in it. Anyway, this is the Glee. Thank you for joining us on our short break where we just talked about like the inner workings of Glee and the people involved in it.
Would we all fuck Darren Criss?
Yes.
Wait, let me see what he looks like. Hold on. I don't know that.
Oh, you would. 100%.
Well, I mean, don't answer for me.
No, you would.
Hold on. Darren. Chris.
It's like.
I seem to remember like a nice like fuzzy butt.
Moment
yeah.
in that.
Yeah, I know, girl.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. For sure.
And, like, he's...
Oh, his... I bet his butt hair is beautiful.
Yeah, it's in that show, right? Because he's, like, naked in that show.
Oh, yeah. Wait, what's his sign?
He's
gay. Oh, Aquarius.
Oh.
Oh, and he's straight. Well, he could be queer, but he's married to a woman.
I think he is queer, no?
No idea.
I feel like he came out as, like, vaguely queer in the way that like celebrities love to come out.
See.
I'm not gonna lie, when you queer. First said Darren Chris, I thought Chris Angel, and I was really confused about where we were sidestepping to.
No, he's actually not queer. He's the one who came out in 2018 and said he would no longer play gay characters because he felt bad as a straight guy. I'm like, I love that you got check after check after check.
Yeah, yeah.
He's like, I can afford to make this decision.
Yeah.
Getting these hot residuals.
Yeah.
That's how I feel about being trans. I'm just not going to pretend to be trans anymore because I've gotten enough checks. And
she's gotten her clout.
I've gotten my clout, and it's time for me to reclaim my space as a cis woman.
That was actually one thing, a hard switch that I noticed when I changed from a career in acting to a career in music, was that night and day, it went from the people representing me wanting to hide the fact that I was gay so I could book roles to the people representing me wanting to promote that I was gay so that I...
Because it was marketable?
Was more marketable.
Interesting.
Yeah. And at the time, because I was like...
Wait, you're gay?
Yeah.
Are you coming out on this podcast right now? Is this you formally coming out?
Starts crying.
I cannot.
A Best Mistakes exclusive.
Yeah. I have to go.
Yeah. And, you know, at the time it like felt good and now I'm like, they're both annoying. But like...
Yeah. Either way, it's kind of like, why does this have to be a thing at all?
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. I mean, you know what? That's a great pivot. We've talked enough about career.
Yeah.
Sure, we'll talk about it more because we're just slamming our heads against the brick wall of capitalism every day. So hard. So hard.
Yeah.
At least we get to decorate the wall in like fun lights, you know?
Yeah. I thought you were going to say blood.
Well, and our blood, slowly. You know, we have our Van Goghs on the wall, and then we slam our head against it. It's
totally.
Beautiful.
We have Angora rabbits, and, like, you know, Austin sunshine and tobacco. I'm just looking around.
Austin apartment.
Yeah.
But let's do our little segments.
Mistakes, keepsakes, and hot takes.
My mistake, I mean, like, my mistake, and, you know, I said this to someone recently, because they were lurking on someone, and I was like, you know, you'll stop lurking when you're ready. Like, no one can tell you not to lurk on someone. Like, you just do when your body knows, your body keeps the score, your body knows when it's ready. But because I don't talk to myself the way that I talk to my friends, my mistake is that I've been a stupid fucking bitch on this tour and I keep lurking on someone's Twitter, even though I have them blocked. And it's just, you know, it's like taking about like an hour out of my day every day where it's making me upset, but it's only like an hour of the day every day. And we're usually on the road. So like, it's not like really affecting, it hasn't affected the trip, but it's still annoying. I'm like, girl, stop lurking.
It's a bit self-sabotaging.
It is. I know. I'll stop when I'm ready. You know,
okay.
I will stop when I'm ready. But
it does change the entire vibe of the car. I can tell immediately when she does it. I can tell immediately when she's done it. But because I'm a good friend, I just like talk about something else.
She just stops breathing.
Like her whole posture changes when she does it. And like if I try to talk about anything else, it's real short responses. I'm like,
when I'm lurking, like, I'm not talking about it either. I'm just like lurking.
Yeah, no.
And so that's making it even, that probably makes it even more annoying if you're like observing it, if you're not me, because then I'm just simmering. But
it's not annoying. It's just more like, I'm like, Girl.
I know. Listen.
Don't do that.
I was.
We want better for you.
I was blocked.
We just want better for you.
I know. I was blocked and that was gorgeous. And then I have
You would just log into something else. And
I literally deleted my alt Twitter so that I wouldn't.
Yeah.
And then, because I knew that I would, deleted it. And then realized that I had been unblocked on my main account. But, oh well, anyway, please block me.
We know you're listening.
We know you're listening.
Nika's not the only one that's lurking, and we know it.
You know, sometimes, you know, like, when people are trying to quit smoking or habits, like, you have to, like, something new that you're going to do. Like, they tell you to make a cup of tea instead of smoke or go outside and take 10 deep breaths. Like, maybe you can teach Leah Michelle to read, or you could...
Ooh, yeah.
No, I've just been reading about...
Maybe you can teach Leah Michelle to read.
I'm trying to replace it by just reading gossip columns about the British royal family, and that has been, like, lowering my blood pressure instead of lurking.
To Leah Michelle. So that she can also keep up with it.
I don't know if anyone is lurking, because they're blocked, but maybe they are well, too, who knows. Anyway, block me. My keepsake is that, I mean, I've just been, like, you know, I feel like, tour is the word. Like, I've just been, like, tearing it up on this tour.
Yeah, you tore on this tour.
I tore on this tour. yeah, it's been...
Oh my god, the poster should have said tour, like, T-O-R-E.
I know.
That's our tour.
Oh, you're so right. Well, our next one.
Our next, yeah.
Because we have other places that people want us to go to.
Yeah.
When we do, like, Georgia, Florida, fucking...
Every time we post another, like, flyer, everyone's like, oh, you're not coming to Atlanta, sad face. And it's like, can't you just be happy for us?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Like, I know it's a compliment.
Someone else has,
like,
to come
sad.
To Boston. I was like...
Boston is actually very fun to do comedy in. Boston is, like, the capital of, like... comedy in America.
All right, well, maybe, you know what, when we do another, whatever. We'll go to Boston and fucking Florida and Atlanta, and we'll figure out how that cobbles all together on a route that makes sense on our next tour. But yeah, I have just been, like, tearing it up, which has been really nice creatively, because I've been playing it pretty safe with stand-up for a while now. I've never toured. I've always, you know, I've wanted to for a while. And yeah, it's been fun to be, like, doing old jokes that I haven't done in a while, doing some new jokes, and just feeling very good. Though it's, like, also such a funny cliche to me that I'm like, every time I feel weird when I just, like, get on that stage, I feel so much better.
No, it's
but
true, though.
It's so true. Yeah.
Yeah, it sucks that the industry is what it's like, because it's like the actual art form is just so, it, like, fucking rules.
Yeah,
but
it does.
Then the industry just ruins
it. What else
it.
Would you want to do with your life?
Yeah. Yeah,
literally. Yeah. But then, like, the industry and, like, all the shit you have to deal with to, like, quote unquote, do it with your life makes it, like, almost not worth it again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Completely.
Yeah.
God, the fucking deals with the devil we have to make.
Oh, absolutely. But yeah, I mean, it's been sick. It's been, like, you know, I definitely need this. And so that's the keepsake, because I just have, like, not been creatively doing really anything in the last year except our podcast, which I love, but it, like, doesn't feel the same as stand-up, I guess, in that way.
Yeah.
Like,
you can't put all of your creative energy into just, like, one thing. No creative person can, really.
Yeah.
I haven't performed live in 3 years, and you like, you don't get any, like, interpersonal energy feedback, you know, even fucking applause, like, you know, like, of course it changes it when you're live.
Yeah, it's just different. And my hot take, what is my hot take? What is a hot take that I've come up with while I've been on the road?
I mean, your hot take earlier. Oh, hi.
What was my hot take earlier?
You, like, opened the podcast with, Jack Kerouac hot take or whatever. Was that what it was?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that could be a hot take. Yeah. I mean, I guess my hot take is, you know, yeah, I mean, open the podcast talking about how I hate Jack Kerouac and how I love Sylvia Plath. And I guess, you know, the hot take could be that even today, men's art gets taken so much more seriously than women's in, like, every artistic industry ever. And it still persists in 2022. And it's very fucking annoying.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's not, like, that hot of a take. Like, if it were, like, the 90s and I said that, that would be simmering hot. But we all know that in 2022, right, guys? Write into the pod. Let us know if you agree.
Tepid is still, like, real.
What?
Tepid is still, like, a real temperature for a take.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's still for a temperature. A
yeah.
It's a tepid take. Absolutely. Oh, my God, a tepid take.
A tepid take.
That's, like, a fun segment name. Maybe we'll have a new segment called Tepid Take.
Okay.
And let's do it.
It's just, like, kind of, like, just mild opinions you've held for a while that you know, like, probably a lot of people share, but you just still want to, like, go on the record.
Yeah, like, we should be nicer to each other.
yeah. Or people who are like, you know, I think pineapple actually should be on pizza.
Oh, here's a hot take. I think it's
like, a lot of people obviously feel that way. It's a whole type of pizza.
This is a hot take. I find it fucking disgusting when people tell me that they want to destroy my pussy. or, like, any of my holes. Like, I don't want my asshole or my pussy destroyed.
Yeah,
like,
and I want to be tenderly, lovingly fucked.
Yeah, or, like, I don't know. You can take me to Pound Town, but, like, don't destroy it. Like, say, like, make sure it's still intact for the next person. Like, destroy. I don't like that.
Yeah.
I paid a lot of money for my pussy. I don't want you to destroy it.
Yeah, destruction is like finite, like dead pussy.
Yeah.
Like fucking.
No,
like,
don't do that. Yeah. Someone needs to get me pregnant first. You can't destroy my pussy. Yeah. All right. You?
Okay. My mistake.
Absolutely.
My mistake when I like fucked up our merch order, that kind of destroyed my life for a couple of days, because I was like, how are we supposed to go on the road with no merch to sell? Like, we're gonna just like go so broke for like the whole point of like, we just wanted to go on a cross-country road trip, and then we're like, oh, like we should add stand-up dates to this, both for creative reasons but also like so we can make money to like kind of fund this cross-country road trip.
Yeah.
And I put in an order for merch like 2 or 3 weeks before we were supposed to go, which was like the perfect amount of time. And because I was at Honcho when I put the order in, I never like saw, like I didn't receive the email back that they needed further information from me, so I thought that I had just like placed the order and that we were good to go. And then I got back from Honcho and like they, like the order was never formally placed. And so for it to be placed, they would be like, great, like it'll be ready in 3 weeks. But now we were leaving in a week from then. You know what I mean? Like it was like, we were just fucked. Like, and everywhere that we were like, can we get a rush order? It wouldn't financially make sense to like pay for how much the rush part cost. Mm-hmm. Like we wouldn't make any money back on that merch. So I just like was losing my mind because I felt very Capricorn rising. I felt so on top of everything. Like I thought that like everything was in place for this fucking tour that like I put so much work into like booking these tour dates and like making our itinerary and making sure that each tour date was like the right amount of time and distance apart from each other, that it made sense to do it in the order we were doing it. And like then this like one final detail just made it feel like it was like all coming like crashing around me.
Mm-hmm.
And we luckily decided to just make our own merch, and I was able to like place the order for materials for basically like overnight shipping so that we could just like make it. And I'm actually so proud of what we made.
I am too.
We made the merch at our first stop in Asheville at our friend's house that we stayed at. We like spent the day just like spray painting tote bags with like one of our catchphrases on this podcast is kiss your friends on the mouth.
Mm-hmm.
So we have tote bags that say kiss your friends on the mouth, and then we have bucket hats that we put the word strewn on.
Okay, cute.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we made fanny packs that say put on this earth to vibe.
Mm-hmm.
And like we'll just like sell these on this tour, and like they're handmade and they're all one of a kind for that reason too. And we might like never make this specific these specific designs ever again. So they're kind of special in that way too. Like you have to come out to see us on this tour to like get these specific pieces of merch. And we're still going to get actual, you know, formal merch made and like sell it online to our listeners and stuff. But I was just, that was the mistake. I just felt like so fucking stupid. And I thought that like, I was just panicked and I was like worried that there was going to be no solution. But I also, and this is kind of my keepsake, along with just the fact that this tour has been so magical so far and we've seen so many like incredible friends, each and every stop, it's been really special to like connect with new and old friends. But like among those keepsakes for me was that I sort of just, while I was panicking about the merch thing, I just had this like trust in myself that like a solution will come, because like I've been in enough situations in my life where it feels like everything is coming crashing down around me and like there's no way out, and I've always been able to like figure it out.
Yeah.
And so I sort of just knew that that would happen, and I had to just like wait and like allow myself to like come up with that solution, or you know, for the solution to appear through someone else coming up with it or something. But like I just knew a solution was gonna be there, and it was just nice to sort of like face a crisis, you know, a quote-unquote crisis, pretty low stakes ultimately, but felt high stakes in the moment, with that kind of like self-assurance that like, okay, this isn't plan A, but like it'll be fine. And so that was just nice to like feel that difference in myself from like past crises, where I've definitely just like had, I've let things be the end of the world that are not the end of the world, and I didn't do that this time. But yeah, my other keepsake is just like that this trip has been incredible so far, and like creatively it's been really nice. It's been really, really incredible to watch you kind of like blossom in front of me on stage. I have been very proud to like watch you step up to the challenge that is like going on tour for the first time and like doing a lot longer of sets than you're used to.
Well, now I'm like, but it's like a double-edged sword, because now I'm like, I only want to do 20
minutes. Well, yeah, that's welcome to, that's like the stand-up dilemma. Which, mind you,
before I was doing like, I don't know, like six.
I would give her 10-minute slots and she'd be done at 6 minutes. And I was like, Nika, fill the time.
And I'm like, I'm going to do 40.
Yeah,
thank you.
Yeah, so that's been really special. My hot take, I feel like I've had like a lot of like inflammatory opinions throughout this trip that I've been like yelling at the top of my lungs, and now that I'm like on mic, I'm like, I don't know. I'm a sweet girl.
I could tell you some of Anya's hot takes.
Yeah, I was like, I've been yelling hot takes through this fucking apartment all day as we've like had our our like waking up. We woke up to like coffee and mimosas and then just talked shit for like 6 hours. And I was like, do you want to be a guest on our podcast? And now that
I was like, oh, you weren't recording.
I guess my hot take is that America, the country, but also like North America, the continent, is like one of the most like terrain and geography wise, like one of the most diverse parts of the planet. Like it looks so drastically different from like every like 300 miles is like a completely new place.
Yeah.
And even like, and it gets even more drastic the farther you go. And it's such a fucking shame that like capitalism and like highways have turned it all into the same thing. Like you just like every single highway has like the same fucking like four restaurant signs on it every time you go through another small town.
Yeah.
And it's just like such a shame that like that's what we've done to this like beautiful indigenous land that we've just like completely, you know, drained of its literal life, but then also like drained the life out of like just the, like literally the ambiance of it, you know? Like it's such, it's, I mean, don't get me wrong, this road trip has been also beautiful. There's still plenty of gorgeous sights to be seen, but it's just so depressing when you're like trying to take in like the beautiful like Texas sunset and there's just like a like Popeyes and a Dunkin' Donuts and a like McDonald's Chick-fil-A. And a Chick-fil-A and like all the exact same signs over and over and over again on the, like these highways that look exactly the same.
Yeah.
It's not that hot of a take, but it is just like a huge shame. And then, yeah, also if you're afraid of driving on bridges, never
drive to Louisiana.
Never drive through Louisiana.
It's bridge after bridge after bridge.
It's not even just like the highways themselves are bridges over swamps. It's crazy.
Yeah. See you never again in like 5 years.
I know, truly. It's Yeah, that's another hot take. Why is anyone moving to New Orleans right now?
Also, why the fuck did they build highways that are like 5 feet above a swamp? Like,
they weren't always 5 feet above the swamp. Jesus. That swamp is getting higher and higher, I'll tell you what. But
yeah, it's not moving to New Orleans.
It's a shame, but like that is fully going to be submerged so soon, like in a real way and not in a like temporary post-hurricane way. Oof. But so is New York. Like I say that with as
yeah, I mean, same with Providence. Providence just flooded so hard. So, you know what? Move wherever you want. There are going to be many other places to go. So, I guess, experience
enjoy it while you can.
Enjoy it while you can.
Yeah, do you.
Start moving every 2 years.
Just to take it all in.
Take it all in. Yeah. I like that. Adventurous.
Take it all in while the ocean also takes it all in.
Absolutely. You got to be more like that ocean.
Yeah. Your turn, Mind Bath. What's your mistake this week?
My mistake? Okay. So my mistake this week. Okay, so we adopted a rabbit, which is absolutely not a mistake. He is my son, and I would die for him. He made me cry, and I'm on antidepressants, so that's really hard. But like, cry with love. We immediately
he
like
said something really hurtful.
Yeah, he was,
he's like, you were never a good actor or a good musician.
Stop blaming capitalism. You're just mediocre. Yeah. As I'm feeding him lettuce. No, we immediately like read that like they should be bonded in like at least pairs of two. So we like were like, okay, we'll get another male bunny because like, you know, thinking of like high school biology, we were like, as long as they can't like make bunnies, we're good. So we didn't, you know, we got these two rabbits that separately from each other are like beautifully potty trained little angels. And then we brought them together thinking that, you know, they would be best friends right away. They'd have their own TikTok and we'd be famous. Just kidding, kind of. No, but what we ended up finding out is that, like, you know, two unneutered male rabbits will actually just, like, forget all of their potty training and start shitting and pissing all over the place to assert their territory. And also, if you leave them together, they will so aggressively fuck each other's faces and actually, like, draw blood and rip out fur. Uh-huh. So...
I mean, listen.
We have them separated by chicken
gays,
wire.
No matter what the species.
Fucking gays. Especially we have, like, you know, like, one of them is, like, a little tiny, like, adorable little 7-month-old, and, like, he's, like, the dom top. Mm-hmm. He's, like, really aggressive, and, like, it's kind of, like, intense to watch. So, yeah, that's, like, our, like, silly mistake is, like, you know, now we have, like, a vet bill if we want them to be besties. And, like, you know. But still... that's it. Rabbit piss is my mistake.
It's your mistake.
Your keepsake? I
mean, they're gorgeous, gorgeous rabbits.
Yeah. I really want.
My keepsake, I have to be corny. Like, he's in there.
Oh.
You can say more
he
about
that. He being
it.
Who?
You love me.
Yeah. Crazy. I'm like really in love after like a long stretch of like, not only not being in love, but like not even dating, even having like a year of celibacy, like, you know. At best, like, not really picturing myself ever in a relationship again. At worst, just, like, being, like, a, like, man-hater who, like, still wants to fuck them, so you're, like, tormenting yourself.
Okay, read me.
But no, I just, like, you know, after this long period of healing, I, like, we have, like, a really crazy story of, like, how we met. And we've fully, like, lesbian U-hauled with each other. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I'm living in, like, Austin for, like, 2 months right now. We're, like, talking about moving him to Canada with our rabbits that we've adopted together. And that's definitely my, like, keepsake.
That's beautiful and deeply disturbing and fucked up and hurtful and rude. To rub in our faces. I know you're doing us like a huge favor by like hosting us and feeding us and being like so welcoming
and attentive
and like really great hangs and it's like lovely to see you, but it just feels like you're intentionally hurting me with your love.
Yeah. Before you came, we were like, let's like for their sake, like keep our like affections and joy and lust to a minimum so that they don't feel shitty
like
about themselves.
You know, you know what I just went through. Yeah. And so for you to do that is actually just so
gave
triggering.
Her bed.
Yeah, you did give us your bed.
Yeah. You did.
And thank you for that.
Yeah.
But we feel the love in the bed.
Yeah.
And that also is fucked up and hurtful and harmful.
Yeah.
And misogynistic.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, I'm not perfect, you know?
Nobody's perfect.
Yeah.
But yeah, my keepsake is someone who's a Aquarius, Sun, Moon, and Rising, which is like...
You're so brave.
Aquarius and Scorpio, yeah. Great match.
An Aquarius, yeah. Like a triple Aquarius that can commit. Like,
yeah, that's... Let's talk.
What a feat.
Yeah.
Don't know how.
Yeah.
It's a testament to you, really.
Yeah.
That was beautiful. I took a throw up.
What's your hot take we can cancel you?
Nice palate cleanser.
Right.
Let's make you real unlikable.
Okay, we want a palate cleanser. Right. Okay.
Maybe it's a hot take that'll make him fall out of love with you.
My hot take was like, you know, I'm currently writing a book. I'm writing a novel.
Yes.
And
okay, so far it's a brag, but come on.
Before I tell you my hot take, let me like plug this. And the other day I was like, you know, on one of my like water sign, like, you know, can't help but talk about things in like an extremely deeply emotional way. And somehow the paragraph chapter ended in like my character in the shower. And he asked the question, is douching manifesting? And I think that's my hot take. Is douching manifesting? Like,
so the hot take is you're really positing a question to the listener.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, I do.
I guess if it's a take, it has to be more like, I think
it's a proclamation,
douching could be manifestation.
Yeah, sure.
Because, you know, like, it's different if you have, like, if like, the dick is, like, secured for the night and you're just, like, prepping for
it. Yeah, but to
say
kind
you're
of just be hoping for
going
a
going out to, like, you know, like, look poetic and eat in a restaurant by yourself and you douche before you go.
Yeah.
Is that, like, a manifestation that, like, at that restaurant...
I feel like
the... top is going to be, like, I smell the cleanliness.
Yeah, you are. Yeah, you're putting an intention towards an outcome.
Yeah.
Which is what manifesting is about. So, sure.
Yeah.
I feel like the equivalent, you know, for any, like, listeners who don't engage in, like, anal sex...
Grow up.
Well... Listen, I'll be the voice. I'll be the voice for the voiceless. No, I mean, I've...
Get a prostate.
I have engaged in anal sex, but, you know, it's not maybe my go-to. I think the equivalent of that, at least for, like, a lot of, like, women that, like, fuck men, I feel like the equivalent is, like, shaving your legs.
Yeah.
Slash your, like... bikini zone.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of people talk about, like, doing that before you really know if you're gonna get, like, fucked that night.
Yeah.
Is, like...
Missy Elliott. Call before you come.
Yeah, exactly.
Shave my chochos.
Yeah, exactly. And, like, there's something, sometimes a little bit dark about feeling your hair, like, kind of growing back the next day. Like, that, like, stubble, that sandpaper stubble, that's, like, for nothing, you know?
Yeah.
Because you never got fucked.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think, you know, you believe in yourself. And the moment that you're shaving or you're douching, what you're engaging in believing in yourself.
Yeah.
And that's kind of beautiful.
Yeah.
There's actually, and the straight man equivalent is cleaning your room. There's
not laundering your sheets, but you know.
Sure. Well, there's a comedian, Pete Holmes has like a funny joke about how there's like nothing more deflating than like coming home from like a night out to your like made bed that you like never make usually, but like and just like masturbating atop your made bed. Yeah, because of your like wishful thinking
to
of
the
like,
scent of your like Glade plug-in or like whatever they would have.
Yeah, whatever it is those people do. Well, that's beautiful. I love that shameless plug for your book. When's that dropping?
Oh, God. I mean, like, if I can, like, keep up to the deadlines that I've already asked for an extension on.
Mm-hmm.
That is
the writer's process.
Yeah.
They give you deadlines knowing that you're going to ask for extensions.
Yeah. And I didn't realize that, like,
it's like
until I asked for the first extension and saw how kind of normal that was. I was like, okay.
Yeah. But it's like tonight's show. We said 9 p.m. even though it starts at 9:30.
Yeah. I'm hoping to have the first draft of it written, like all the ideas and things down by the end of fall to the editor. And then the thing about this book, and the reason I was able to kind of get like a arts grant from the Canada Council was because I applied for like a musician's grant, but I'm writing a novel that has an accompanying LP.
Okay.
So I still have to, a lot of the like music and composition and instrumentals and demos are laid down, but like I still have to make like a whole album this winter. And right now, like the first single in the book is supposed to come out next summer.
Mm-hmm.
And like that sounds realistic, but it could.
Yeah. Time flies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll see. We'll see. I'm like, you know, it'll definitely be out within the next 2 years. And I'm really excited about it. You're both in it.
Amazing.
We're both in it.
Yeah.
Like, loosely based on, or we're just in it?
At some point, you just walk by, and I'm like, Anya and Nika, mistakes. The best mistakes.
Yeah, as long as you plug the podcast, that's fine.
Yeah.
I'll have my publicist reach out to you about what the exact conditions are that I can be featured in the book.
No, you're both in it. Right now, like, Nika is more, like, heavily featured because we had an interview, and after some of our conversations today...
She's hotter, and she's cooler, and...
I've wanted to interview you.
After the conversations today?
Yeah, because, I mean, I was already gonna, like, potentially ask you for permission to include your drag performance that I witnessed in some capacity.
Uh-huh.
But then when we were talking today, I was like...
Oh my god, I can't believe you just outed me as having ever done drag. The listeners don't know that. It's okay. No, it's fine.
By drag, I mean she, like, dragged me all night.
I dragged you.
Yeah.
You can include that. Anytime I drag you, feel free to put that in the book.
Yeah. But yeah, it's like a psychedelic... book about queer people, and it's just like me spinning stories about like the amazing people in my life and experiences that I've had into like this kind of narrative of this like utopic world that I wish we could live in together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's gorgeous.
Yeah, we love that. Yeah,
being published by Random House, Simon and Schuster.
Absolutely.
If the story is about utopia, and I'm part of why it's
ectopic.
Yeah.
I love an ectopic world.
Then, fine.
Great.
You can include me. As long as I'm, like, the reason it's utopia. You're like, if it weren't for this person, we'd all be fucked.
It's like, the point is, like, that, like, utopia can't really exist. Like, that's kind of, like, a, like, egotistical idea. But then, Anya comes.
Then everything changes.
And then everything changes.
And I just press play on my own podcast, and everyone's like, this is amazing. And then we all live happily ever after. Yeah. That's the goal with this podcast. Well, that's beautiful. Douching is manifesting. And in a way, we just douched for your book.
Yeah.
Just now.
Yeah.
We're prepping our little buttholes for this.
You took a mind bath.
What?
We did take a mind bath.
Took a mind bath.
And douching is disgusting. I'm famously against douching.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I've douched once in my entire life. And okay. I was mostly a top when I had a dick.
Yeah.
But, I don't believe in douching.
She's being inflammatory.
I'm not being inflammatory. I don't believe in douching. I think, like, just...
I've heard her say literally the exact opposite about the one time she douched, about how it changed everything.
It did change everything, but I still don't believe in it. Like, I just think that it's, like, save it for, like, once a year. I think it's a ridiculous standard to hold yourself to if you're having anal sex. I don't think that anyone should be required to douche. I think if you're going to put your dick in my butt, you better be ready with what might come out of that.
Yeah.
Like,
and that's fair. Yeah. And that still happens when you douche.
Yeah.
I mean, also right now, like...
I respect it, but I just... when I see, like, all of my friends run a fucking camping trip and they're all trying to figure out where they're going to go douche, I'm like... Yeah. Chill.
We're in the woods.
I mean, right now I'm, like, in a home that literally has, like, a smooth metallic douche attachment that I can also budget myself with a little bit in the shower. And I'm, like, you know, dating a, like, hot verse guy that's a pretty, like, timid bottom, more of a top. So.
A timid bottom.
That's very Aquarius of you. Timid bottom, more of a top, absolutely.
Very triple Aquarius of you.
Yeah.
We can edit it out, don't worry.
I relate to
this. This isn't live. No. We'll do it live.
Yeah.
I'm here for it. Okay.
Great.
So you're on the record as a timid bottom then?
Oh my god, I am not a timid bottom.
No, mind bat seems to say
otherwise. I'm not just a bossy bottom.
If it's written into the book,
then... A bossy bottom, that checks out.
Me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
When I did that, like, that quiz that kind of, like, tells you the, like, percentiles of, like, your kink or, like, BDSM or whatever. I forget what it's called.
Yeah, I always get Brat.
Brat was maybe right up top for me.
I don't relate to that, though, because I'm a very lazy, not great bottom, but, like, a very bossy top.
Okay.
Yeah. Like, I don't really, like, I don't want, when someone, like, tells me what to do when they're, like, trying to get me to bottom, if I'm just like, no.
Yeah.
I'm not actually going to do that.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I find I have such a hard time with these labels. We've like I talk about this a lot where I'm just like it's very strange to me that I'm supposed to know what I am in relation to every person that I fuck. Like I always just feel like when I fuck someone we're like finding out together how it is that we as two people fuck each other.
Yeah.
And so like to like walk around this world as like I am a top or I am a bottom or like a bratty bottom or a like fucking like all the different I just can't
and I'm like a pleaser that's like definitely my thing and like though I'm a bit psychic I like want the you know I want to like encourage the person to like tell me what they like that's really hot for me and so we can go from there but you know I it's very common in my life that people do call me a brat and everyone seems to think that but me.
Yeah.
People, everyone thinks I'm a top.
Everyone thinks that I'm like
that I have top energy.
Yeah.
People think I'm like a, gonna be like a subby bottom. And I'm like, I'm just short. I'm like, it's so funny that everyone who's ever hooked up with me is like, that's a dom top. And everyone who has not is convinced that I'm a bottom. Call me anything you want, just don't call me late for dinner.
Listener mistakes.
I'm not from the U.S. Where I am from, Sweden, people are obsessed with the evils of sugar. At a friend's party in the U.S., someone baked 2 trays of brownies, loaded and unloaded. I thought that referred to sugar, and I gobbled a lot of them. Oh, no. When I later went to sleep, my head started spinning, and I thought I was going to die. So I assume that loaded means...
Weed?
Yeah.
Weed.
What is unloaded when it comes like to sugar? Yeah, gluten. We just loaded this up with gluten. Sugar-free brownie sounds literally disgusting.
Disgusting, and now I want a brownie.
We can make that happen, maybe. Yeah.
What's that mean?
Yeah, go make us brownies.
I am that girl that's made a sugar-free brownie with beets, and it's like really good.
Wait, I think I do have brownie mix.
No, oh my god. I mean, like, when we go out, I'll buy a brownie. You don't have to make brownies. But thank you.
Make us some brownies. Why not?
I mean...
Why not?
My reaction, maybe it's a hot take, is, like, that, like, weed, like, can be, like, one of the fucking craziest highs you can have.
It's a hard drug.
It's a hard drug. We talk about this on the podcast. Well,
I hate weed.
We do not...
Or I like it, but I don't love it.
Okay, smoke some weed then, but keep it to yourself. That shit's disgusting. Because, it is one of the most intense highs you can have, and I feel like sometimes one of the least productive highs you can have. I feel like it leads people down, like, spirals that don't even lead to, like, helpful realizations. I feel like you, like, tell yourself lies when you're high on weed, and, like, you know, you can go down spirals on, like, acid and mushrooms, but it's usually kind of actually leading you somewhere helpful.
Yeah.
Like a productive spiral. Mm-hmm. But weed, I've never realized anything helpful while high on weed, ever. Mm-hmm. It's always been, like, a deep, deep lie that I had to, like, then untrain myself from believing for, like, the next 4 months.
Yeah.
So I would absolutely lose my fucking mind if I... like, had that never been kissed moment where she eats space cake.
Who ate my whole bun?
And she's like, you know what's a weird word? Fork. I would jump off a bridge. No, I wouldn't. Nobody 5150 me just because I smoke weed someday, please. But
I like it, but I have to, you know, I smoke little bits of it now and I can't do it every day. But... you know, some of the craziest, definitely some of the scariest highs I've had, and I've done a lot of drugs, are from marijuana.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, like, dear listener, I hope you had a weighted blanket and a restful sleep at some point that night.
At least it wasn't loaded with sugar. At least you escaped that evil. You can rest easy, any Swedish listeners. This had a regular amount of sugar in it and mm-hmm. just a loaded amount of weed. Mm-hmm. But do you have a best mistake you'd like to share with us and your lover who's in the room?
Best mistake.
Yeah. I mean, I have lots of...
Oh, you know what? Actually, before you even get into it, we like to always ask our guests, like, what is your general relationship to mistakes? Like, are you someone who dwells? Are you someone who, like, looks for the, like best in things and everything happens for a reason kind of person? Are you a mistake repeater? Are you a lesson learner?
Definitely a lesson learner in the most, like, deep, twisted, high-pressure way ever.
Say more.
Like, I expect myself to, like, learn a lot from a mistake. And mm-hmm. to, like, you know, it can become much bigger than it needs to be. Or go on for many more days than it needs to be.
Is it for the sake of not repeating the mistake? Or is it for the sake of so that the mistake was worth it?
Ooh. Yeah, I mean, I definitely like to find a way for a mistake to be worth it. And, like, I repeat mistakes. I don't know.
Yeah.
Who doesn't? But, like, mm-hmm. not the big ones, not the, like, huge major ones.
Well, I mean, that's more than a lot of us can say.
Yeah. Like, those mistakes were so big that, like, I better fucking learn something from them. And I better never do them again. Mm-hmm. But, like, I don't know. My relationship to my mistakes are, like, I have, you know, I am 33 now. I'm past my Saturn return. I'm, like, past a lot of, like, you know, tough days where you don't understand yourself at all. Mm-hmm. And I would just say that I'm, like, I don't take myself as seriously. Like, I've, like, let go of a lot of, like, pride about, like, you know, if I do something stupid, like, it's probably because I'm, like, a bit stupid.
And that's okay.
Yeah, and it's, like, fine. Or, like, you know, if I do something hurtful, like, you know, at this point, knock on wood, there hasn't been a thing for a long time that's, like, detrimentally hurtful. Mm-hmm. And so it's just, like, I'm very clear on the fact that especially if it's something hurtful to someone else and they want to talk to me about it, that's, like, a, like, respect for our relationship and a respect for me that they, like, want to talk about it.
Totally.
And so I'm, like, pretty easy to talk to, like, open communication about, like, when something goes wrong. I guess I can, like, be harder on myself if I'm, like, you know, like, the silly mistakes are almost, like, more, like, spirally sometimes.
Yeah,
you know?
like, how could I be so stupid?
Like, you delete a file that you've been working on, or, like, see, yeah. You know, like, that's, you know, like, one of my best friends was, like, really mad at me last week, and it just was, like, a conversation for us to get, like, closer, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you believe that everything happens for a reason? Like, do you have that kind of woo outlook on it?
I think whatever you believe in is, like, gonna be real.
Mm.
So, like...
You can create the reason that it happened for, in other words?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I don't think, like... Yeah, I mean, I definitely believe that everything has a multitude of answers. Especially if you're talking about spiritual or, like, you know, like, emotional shit. Like, so, no, I don't want to believe that. I think a lot of the bad shit that's happened to everyone in the world, like, nobody fucking deserved that. It shouldn't have happened. There should
totally.
Be lots of regrets. There should be lots of, like, you know, there's so many things that, like, we literally can't let go of because they hurt so bad.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, an effective method has been to find the ways that you grew from it.
Mm.
You know, like, and I think more, like, something like everything happens for a reason is more of, like, a helpful exercise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's way more applicable to individuals, like lower caliber mistakes than yeah. it is to like global.
Yeah. Like you cannot look at the darkest of the world and say everything happens for a reason. Right. But like or if you're trying God's to heal plan. From the darkness you've experienced and thinking about it that way helps you, then like Godspeed.
Yeah, it's also, I don't know, I find it to be such an unhelpful outlook that everything happens for a reason. And I always have, like, both on, you know, big mistakes, small mistakes, global mistakes, or, you know, or that, like, we've talked about this, that, yeah. like, you know, you're, like, it brings you, like, where you're supposed to be. Like, I don't believe that, mm-hmm. you know. I think that, obviously, when something happens, like, you do get to a new place, but it's not, like, where you're supposed to be. You just are there. So, like, yeah. now what? What are you going to do now?
Yeah.
And there's, like, always good stuff and always bad stuff coming down the pike.
Yeah.
Like, so when a bad thing happens and then that sets up the circumstances for down the line a good thing happens, that's mm-hmm. not, like, because the bad thing happened. It just means, it's just because good things also happen.
Yeah.
Some, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like it's, and it's great that it was that good thing if it's like, you know, so instrumental to you and you're so grateful for it. But like, yeah, it's not necessarily because a bad thing happened. Those are just like, those are kind of two guaranteed things in this world. It's like good things and bad things happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I've always applied it for both too. Like even with like our friends that, you know, our community that we have, like mm-hmm. I always tell the origin story of how I came upon them and how it was like a snap decision that led me to go there. But I've never once been like that was supposed to happen or like it happened for a reason. Mm-hmm. I'm like, it's amazing that it happened. It like objectively changed my life. But mm-hmm. like the events leading up to that, I don't think like were pre-planned or they happened for a reason. They just happened.
Yeah.
And then we like find reasons for why shit happened. Cause otherwise, you know, we as humans, we like need to attach meaning to shit in order to survive.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm like always like romanticizing things and like trying to find poetry in things because that's like a fucking coping mechanism yeah. for me. And it's also right. how I like mine my life for things to make art about.
Yeah.
You know? So like definitely I think a lot of like if I need to, I can, like, use that statement. But I just think that, like, for people who have had it too hard, it's, like, so fucking unfair.
Well, yeah, it's like when people talk about, like, the reason they believe in God is because, like, they're so blessed. Like, so the God that you believe in is just, like, obsessed with you yeah. and nobody else? Like, what the fuck?
That's or, such like, a God answered my prayers.
Yeah.
And, like, why did he answer yours but, like, not someone else's?
Yeah.
It's like, did he miss the call? It's like very like, yeah, it's like self-aggrandizing in a way that I don't fuck with. It's always bothered me. I wanted to post something to my Instagram story today that was like, you know, I love to post like earnest, sincere, kind of like self-lovey memes.
Yeah, I love
to
you
my,
on Instagram.
Thank you. Yeah, I'll never.
Something nice about mine.
I'll never stop.
I already told you.
I'm kidding.
They love that you follow me.
I love that you post pictures of Nika sometimes.
Yeah, I wanted to post it to my story, but it literally was that. It was like, everything happens for a reason. And I was like, ew, I love the whole sentiment of this whole self-lovey post except that because that's not true. Everything does not happen for a reason. You're being annoying.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But then when I'm like on enough K, I'm like, oh my God, everything happens for a reason. Like I'm in a deep enough K hole and I'm like, oh my God, I am blessed and God only blesses me.
Yeah. I just feel very Elizabeth Gilbert, Eat, Pray, Love about kind of everything in life, which is, you know, she believes that there's like, you know, kind of like a law of physics that like, she didn't invent this and that she like came upon this kind of idea, but that like, you know, there exists this like law of physics that like kind of attracts certain outcomes in your life and they don't always make sense. But once it happens to you, it's up to you to like look at these experiences as having lessons or teachers along the way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's like a lot of it can be very uncomfortable. There can be like uncomfortable truths that you discover about yourself, but you have to discover all of these things and look at everything that happens to you as a potential lesson in order to grow.
Yeah.
And I try to apply that to everything that happens to me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. I think like when you're like investing in your like self and like taking care of yourself and like trying to be as authentic to yourself as you can, like listen to yourself intuitively, then like life does in this like cyclical way, like the non-linear way that we were talking about, like art unveiling itself, it will feel kind of, you'll have those moments of everything happens for a reason, because like some like lesson that you like went through hell to learn like serves you so deeply 5 years down the road, and so mm-hmm. you're like, oh, like it's all making sense yeah. now, but like you did that
yeah exactly.
and your friends did that,
that's just like how that works
yeah
you, like that's how lessons work, but that yeah. doesn't mean that they were like written out by God for you or whatever, or yeah. by the universe.
Yeah.
Well, with all that in mind.
Yeah.
You have a best mistake for us?
Yeah, what's your best mistake?
My best mistake has been, like, changing this whole time.
But, I know.
Like,
I told you that would yeah. happen.
My best mistake was, like, trying and wanting to be famous.
Mm.
Because I think, in a way, like, that was, like, my like young immature way and like it, of like getting swept away and invested in like individualism and capitalism, but because it made me sort of for so many years, like, you know, I never went to university and I like, you know, was already living this kind of like alternative life, even mm-hmm. though I was like seeking something as vapid as fame.
Mm-hmm.
It totally like brought me to the thing that I actually want to be doing with my life. And it, like, got me, like, so deeply invested in art that's so far down the road. Like, my happiest thing as an artist is that I'm still at 33, like, doing the thing that I wanted to do when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it hasn't paid off in the way that I originally wanted it to.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, like, you know, it was this, like, desire for fame, desire to be seen as special that, like, you know... would have been the fucking worst thing that could have happened to me mm-hmm. at that like dumb age, right?
Can you imagine the people that we would be if we got famous when
young,
we wanted
I would have been
be?
Terribly problematic and unhappy. And like, yeah, but like, you know, that was the desire that like brought me to like my purpose and like,
yeah.
Again, I can't help but be corny sometimes.
Be corny.
No, yeah. I mean, I'm super corny, so
yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. Because now it's the opposite of what I want. But, like, again, it just, like, cut the trail for me to, like, figure my shit out and be, like, not a piece of shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know? I think I'm, like, so not a piece of shit now that, like, I'm probably not shitty enough to ever be famous.
Mm.
That's kind of, yeah, that's kind of real, to be honest.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I think, like... I'm obsessed with Viola Davis, and so I watch all of her interviews. And the,
you're friends with Viola Davis.
I mean,
Davis.
Facebook friends. Yeah. She never fucking responds to any of my Facebook messages, but that's fine. I'll be in LA soon, Viola, if you're listening and you want to hang out. Anyway, she often says that, like, a piece of advice that she always gives young actors or anyone who's, like, looking to make it in the industry is that, like, you shouldn't... Your goal should never, ever to be famous. It mm-hmm. should just be to be, like, a working actor.
Yeah.
And that, like, anyone... It always kind of, like, freaks her out when young people tell her that they want to be famous.
Yeah.
'Cause she was like, one, it's, like, so disappointing for yeah. kind of so long
yeah.
until you actually get the career that you want. She was like, and two, that's just, like, a... terrible motivator to for like wanting to be an artist is like to be famous. It's like they're not one in the same.
Yeah.
And I yeah, I think that's very interesting because I used to be I was obsessed with wanting to be famous my whole life.
Yeah.
Like as you know, someone in the entertainment industry, so uh-huh. I had like a specific kind of fame I wanted.
Uh-huh.
But as soon as I didn't want that anymore, it made performing and making art so much more exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you're also, like, you don't really, like, the biggest relief of it is that you no longer care about marketability or broad appeal.
Yeah,
no.
Or, like, making it, you know,
yeah.
in quotes, like, whatever the fuck that means, but...
Yeah.
Like, yeah, so much of the energy that goes into, like, quote-unquote, like, becoming famous... is about being as likable to as many people as possible. And like that is, or the opposite, because you can be famous in a bad way too.
Mm-hmm.
And both are like so reductive and like so ultimately inauthentic.
Yeah.
And just boring.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I just don't have it in me, honestly,
yeah.
to like even try to be likable on that kind of level.
Yeah.
I have a real take it or leave it energy.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not about to like, And I always have. I just didn't even really, like, think about that. While thinking about, like, wanting to be famous, I didn't even really think about if who I am as a person is compatible with that, like, dream.
Yeah.
But I think it's just kind of, like, I don't know. We've been raising a couple generations of egomaniacs, I think, that, like, really, like, everyone just thinks that they're the fucking special one that is, like, gonna be adored by the masses.
Yeah.
And...
Yeah, I mean, if you are, like, if you are talented and you are thinking of your talents as, like, the vehicle that's going to bring you fame, you are setting yourself up for, like, a nightmare, whether or not it works out for mm-hmm. you. Whereas, like, if you, you know, because, like, that end goal, no matter what that end goal is, like, going to be, like, not something that actually, like, nourishes you to survive and feel happy. But, like, what will is, like, creating a practice, like, creative practice out of your talents. Like, that's what will nourish you forever. That's what someone can never take away from you, can never, like, you know, it'll be, like, something that's, like, yours forever. And, like...
And the people that it connects with, it'll connect with, like, in a much more meaningful way, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, my favorite famous people are the people who are, like, reluctantly famous and, like, don't engage with their fame in any real way.
Yeah.
Or when they do, it's, like, for, like, a reason. They're like, oh, I guess I have this platform. Let me do something with it real quick. But then they, like, disappear again.
Yeah.
Or, like, you know, famous people that are constantly kind of putting their marketability on the line for, like, weird projects and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, all of the, like, Harry Potter actors, like, all the projects they do now are just, like... fucking, like, weird movies that they just want to do for fun because they're like, I actually don't give a shit about being famous. I just, like, am lucky enough to have this, like, permanent check rolling in and I'll just do weird creative shit from now on, you know? Or, like, Frank Ocean just, like, completely disappearing for as long as he wants because he's just, like... Yeah,
fucking work.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and I mean, he's, like, you know, his, like, journey and, like, rise to fame is, like, one in a billion.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, he does have the means to, like, do whatever the fuck he wants.
Totally.
But, like, that, like, anyone can do whatever the fuck they want, especially if they, like, stop, like... It's funny that you mentioned Elizabeth Gilbert, because I think I read Eat, Pray, Love a long time ago. I did. But more so, I read anyone this, like... I read this quote about her, like, a couple years ago, because I just, like, I spent a fucking decade working service jobs... until I was, you know, able to, like, survive off music. And then once I was surviving off music, I was living an unlivable life of, like, stress and hard work. And then, like, you know, she was just talking about how, you know, she, like, served till she was, like, 40 and how, like, it's actually, like, you know, if you take the pressure off your career and just have a serving job, that's actually, like, a great life for an artist.
Yeah.
And, like, and it, like, made me, like, again, you know, these, like, bratty fucking ego-driven narratives about fame, like, every time I had to, like, unpack one because I was failing at it, it just, like, made me happier.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I hit that point where I was, like, if, you know, for 10 years I was, like, fuck, what if I'm a 40-year-old server? And then I all of a sudden was, like, that's so classist. Do you know what I mean? Like, serving is a great fucking job. It's great money. I could serve forever and make music on the side, and that's, like, a really great life, and I'm not compromising shit.
Mm-hmm. Well, also, like, you're doing yourself a huge favor when you take your livelihood, like, when your livelihood isn't dependent on your art, to be honest.
Yeah.
Because, like, if it's working out that way, great. But to, like, I think we've just done... We've done a number on ourselves with that whole, like, the whole idea of a dream job and the whole, like, do what you love and you'll never work a day in your life. Like, that's just been, like, this generation's, like, weird culty mantra that I think has, like, turned a lot of people, like, put a lot of people in the position of learning to fucking hate the thing that they once loved.
Yeah.
Because it, like, there's all this pressure on it. Mm-hmm. And they also often, if you're going to really make livable money off of these things, you're often going to have to compromise pretty deeply on, like, the original vision.
Yeah.
Once again, if not, fucking God bless, have so much fun, but that's not the common experience.
Yeah.
Like, the common experience of making money off of your art is, like, you end up having to like make concessions to make it more sellable in some way, or you have to make concessions in your quality of life so that it can be paid for by this art. And so, yeah, like be a 40-year-old server who like makes art that you actually still love to make.
Yeah.
Or whatever it is, you know?
Yeah, and has like a healthy relationship to like being home and like having stable out. Relationships and having a sense of self that isn't like based on like out like external validation.
Right. But also, yeah, when you're like serving or like any other kind of job that we think of as like quote unquote day jobs that we're supposed to like get rid of eventually, like you get to go home and not be working anymore. Yeah. And then like your creative work can just be like fulfilling in some way.
Yeah.
But when your livelihood is attached to it, you're working all the time, not just because it's like fun to be creative, but because like you need to be creative to survive. And it's not like you, there's a place that you go where you are creative and then you come home and like that turns off, you know, like it's going to be there. Like the ideas are going to always be there and you or not.
Yeah.
And like when they come and when they don't, they don't. And like if money and like the roof over your head is attached to that, you never get to like just be not at work, you know?
Yeah. Moral of the story.
Okay, so that's our hot take. We're reclaiming the, you know, what has for a long time been like an insult thrown towards, you know, maybe a like mediocre or talentless person. We're reclaiming, don't quit your day job.
Yeah, don't quit your day job. That's my advice.
Don't quit your day job. Like, give yourself stability. Like, you can still be an amazing artist and have a totally stable life and like not be stressed out all the time and make the art you want and like you can be happy. Like that is,
I mean, on that note, do quit your day job as often as you want as far as like the job itself.
Gotcha.
but like quit the idea that you need to stop having a day job to be a real artist.
That's, yes, there we go.
Yeah. Yeah, but like the day job itself, fucking quit that shit as often and as yeah, fuck them jobs.
Put your rabbits on TikTok and just, you know.
Yeah, put those rabbits on TikTok and see what happens.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, but also like it is, there comes windfalls sometimes with like creativity, where you do get to like make your money off of your art for a while, and that's also great.
Feels
that's
obviously fucking good.
Yeah, that's not like a bad thing.
Yeah.
I think the bad thing is to attach your own value as an artist to whether that is happening or not.
Yeah.
And then also attach expectation to like that being like a permanent state that you need to reach. Because especially, I mean, with every job, there's no real guarantee, but with like creative endeavors, like you can't just be like, great, this is it forever now, unless you like, star in the fucking Harry Potter series when you were 11 years old. And now that money is coming in forever, for sure. Now do whatever you want. But like, very few of us are getting that opportunity.
No.
And that's okay.
It's okay.
And also, everyone who has had that experience has some reason why they also don't recommend that experience.
Like, I feel like I'm a very successful artist.
Yeah, I think you are a very successful artist.
And I have, like, no followers and no money. Sure. And, like, I just, like,
You create really, really interesting and good art that it seems like it's fulfilling for you to create. Like, that's as successful as an artist should be.
It's led me to, like, all of, like, you know, the best people in my life. It's, like, led me to, like, the best relationship with myself. It's, like, led me to like not fear the future because I'm always going to have something that, you know, brings me joy and makes me feel safe and like gives me like catharsis and it's just like, yeah, I'm like grateful for that.
Yeah.
Well, hey, let's celebrate that. Let's
celebrate that.
Oprah, come on the pod.
Come on the pod, Oprah.
She's next on my the book tour, like interview.
Lindsay Lohan.
Yes, yeah. We're having people promote their books and, you know, their projects.
Viola Davis, come on the pod because you just released a memoir, so you have to promote it on our pod.
Yeah, we're gonna get your book and your recent EP on the map because of this podcast.
Okay, I'm ready.
And we're going to get Viola Davis's on the memoir map. On the map.
We're going to get Viola Davis on the map because of this podcast.
Because of this podcast.
Perfect. Yeah.
Sorry, it's rude to talk about our other guests during an
You know,
interview.
Like, it's it's Viola.
She is texting me right now.
It's Viola.
That's why I'm on my phone.
Who among us isn't going to interview Viola Davis at some point?
Hello?
Well, I mean, it's such an honor to be a fan of your work and also...
And a privilege.
And to be your friend.
I'm a fan of both of you, too.
Oh my God, stop. I'm a fan of you.
And I like being your friend, too.
Aww.
Aww. You
like,
just
what
like
else?
It.
Like, what do you like
you only,
about
you
it?
You just like being our friend, great.
Well, you're a great drag performer.
What about me?
I can't wait for your next drag performance, Anya.
Well, thank you so much for doing the podcast.
Thank you.
Is there anything you'd like to plug?
Yeah, sure. I mean, go listen to all my music, but like, please, the last album that I put out, I think it's some of my best, and it's called Must Come Spring.
Mm-hmm. It's incredible.
And I hope you love it. And, you know, if you want to follow me, I'm mind_bath. And that's about it. That is about it.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Write us your mistakes at
bestmistakespod@gmail.com. Subscribe to our Patreon. Hit our Venmos.
Patreon.com/bestmistakespod.
Test your holes.
Test your drugs. And
kiss your friends on the mouth.
Yes.
Bye.